Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'll just be smart today. Like when I, like I said, when I made a mistake, they hit it. And, you know, next time you just got to be more fine.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's Lance Lynn. And he's got to be more fine. And
I would just like to correct him at one little thing that he said. He said, when he didn't, they hit it. I would just edit that a little bit. They didn't hit anything. They launched it. Those were missiles. Those were rockets.
Yeah.
That was a 461-foot homer by Mike Trout, followed by a 425-foot homer by Shohei Ohtani, followed by another home run by Ohtani that traveled 459 feet.
The 161 and the two home runs were the longest hit at Guaranteed Rate Field this year.
You don't want that to be the case. The visiting team having the two longest home runs in your stadium.
When you have not just one, but two guys that can beat you, and you got to avoid throwing them, you know, garbage. You got to be careful not to throw the ball to the same spot three times. They're gonna ding you with three homers and six RBI.
They're going to do that. And then in the start after showing up Yoan Moncada in Detroit, Lance Lynn was never worse than he was yesterday all season long. Four innings, eight runs, 6.55 ERA. Not good.
Yeah,
not getting better either.
You know, look, it's the Sox are in trouble. I don't think there's any shadow of a doubt.
Sox are in trouble. They're going to wait till the 4th of July to announce what they're going to do or confirm the direction. But everyone knows what's coming next, right?
No, I think that on the 4th of July, they'll try to delay another 10 days. They're that's all they're doing is trying to buy time. You know, nothing to see here, nothing to see. We're going to be good in 2 weeks.
It's a little early to start taking phone calls and thinking about the trade deadline. It's still a couple weeks away. We're still going to be competitive, and we're in a division that we're only 5.5 games out. And, you know, we can see reasons for optimism. And, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's a situation where now teams, what's happening now, I think, is that teams are doing the preliminary background research and starting to create the framework for potential deals, players who they may want to pursue. I'm not talking about the White Sox. Teams are calling the White Sox maybe to feel out, or calling people surrounding the White Sox to see who could be good fits. What about this guy? Why is he struggling? What would he do here? And the list of players that are being asked about, I think, are some big names and some bullpen names, but it's a long list, I think, of guys potentially on the move.
They were only really, 8 runs away from winning a series. I mean, it's just you got to remember, they could have won that series if they just had 8 more runs.
Just 8 more runs. Is that all it would take?
Yeah. In that game.
Yesterday was a softball game.
Yeah,
yesterday
it was 12-5.
It was 12-2 before Berger went deep. I know it was 12-5.
This is how it ended up. If you somehow had gotten eight more runs, you'd have won by a run. And then where would all the complaining be? They had just won a series.
Jake Berger did get his 11th home run, so that was nice to see.
Playing second base.
10th at home. Pretty incredible. See, I don't know about that. So now here's the other excuse that is now close to being no longer valid. The Sox are going to be healthy. They're going to be whole. Elvis Andrews coming back. Mike Clevinger, he's going to be back, ready or not. And Jake Berger is back. So now you've got a full complement, a contingent of healthy White Sox. And you don't have the excuse of, well, when we get our team back, the team's back. The gang is together. You're still bad.
You know what the conclusion now is? That they're going to have to trade some guys just to clear up positions for their abundance of players. What do you think?
I think they should trade some guys because they want to make up for their lack of abundance of prospects. Yeah. So whatever they can do, whatever they can get, the process should start sooner rather than later. And that's the direction this is headed. It's the same that in June 1st is no different than what it was on May 1st. You can kid yourself into thinking a 15 and 14 month of May put you in a position to kid yourselves into thinking that you're going to compete for a division title. What does that get you, really? Where are you headed organizationally? What is the future going to be about?
312-644-6767. Tony is in Wonder Lake. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Just touching on a subject you brought up earlier about the umpires. I think if you look at the four major sports, the umpires have the biggest attitude and the most pompous reflection because they think they're bigger than the game sometimes. A perfect example is a guy like Joe West. He has gone above and beyond to demean guys, throw them out of the games for ridiculous reasons. And in my opinion, they kind of ruined the game a little bit. You remember back about 15, 20 years ago, I started really watching about how inside the pitchers were throwing. And all of a sudden, it's right away there's warning. Well, if pitchers know that, that gives them the inability to use the inside of the plate, which is an essential part of the ballgame, okay? And that's why you're coming up with things now that have to raise the mound, because they have to give the pitchers some kind of an advantage because the umpires, in their arrogance, you know, you talk about baseball acumen. There's nobody better than an umpire. They know rules that we will never know unless the situation happens to emerge. However, at the same time, their arrogance has robbed the game of an essential part of the gamesmanship of it. I'd like to hear your comments on that. And, of course, thank you guys for taking my call. Great show.
Thanks, Tony. I'll say this. I don't disagree necessarily that the umpires too often make themselves part of the game and part of the process. I think yesterday you talked about Will Little, the home plate umpire. And it was funny, the lawnmower move to call out Ian Happ. And that was very theatrical. But I will also have to mention, in fairness, that for years, baseball tradition has included making the umpire kind of part of the show sometimes. What other sport is there where the referees or is not in football, not in basketball, not in hockey, where an argument, an animated argument is permitted when action stops to focus on that? So the histrionics have been almost part of the game. So I understand why there might be an umpire with an oversized ego, because they are actors at some points in time. They are guys who are rewarded for their performance art. You see football coaches arguing with referees, but during the game, during breaks, it's not like, oh, let's all focus on to see if the umpire is going to get in the face of the manager and the manager is going to take off his hat and put it on backwards and they're going to be yelling at each other face to face. You know, that's part of baseball tradition.
Yeah. Coaches get thrown out of games. That doesn't necessarily happen in every sport, right? It doesn't happen very often.
It doesn't really happen
in the NFL.
Not in the NFL.
No.
And how often do you see coaches screaming at referees? You miss this pass interference call three downs later.
Right.
But it's not the focus, and the play doesn't stop, whereas in baseball, it does. Not saying it's right. It just happens.
Yeah.
And so I think we traditionally understand these umpires are going to give you that big lawnmower pull for the strike three because that's part of the game. That's part of the show.
I really think that's interesting, the idea that because Hap was convinced he walked, that's why he was called out so theatrically.
I think sometimes that happens,
but
though.
But he did actually walk. That was a ball, and it was never a strike.
It was a ball, never a strike.
Yeah.
But the fact that he assumed that, see, nobody likes anything about, you know, assumptions. Nobody wants to be told what to do before they do it. Umpires are like that.
I grow up. I mean, you know, call it honest and call it fair. And, I mean, listen, it happens where you're in a game and you see them call a particular pitch all the time. And that's just the way the guy's calling the game, so you kind of learn that. But when that drives me crazy. Like, there are guys that have such a good eye that usually they're right. Usually they're right.
Human nature, Mully, though, you say grow up. Human nature is if I'm umping behind the plate and there's a borderline pitch and I see the guy already taking off for first, trying to think that he knows better than I do what a strike or a ball is, I might be inclined to say strike three. That's just – I understand why people would do that. So if you're a hitter, you have to wait until you absolutely know for sure, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose so. But, I mean, I don't think it was that big a deal. I thought it was a bad call. Let's try Mario. He's in Hyde Park. Hey, Mario.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Good.
You know, I don't know what people are expecting the White Sox to do or to be, but this has been going on now. If we don't count the COVID year, at least 4 years of them doing nothing, second baseman, right fielder, manager that was inadequate, new manager that may not know how to actually manage a baseball game for all we know. Also, the idea that they may trade Giolito or Tim Anderson, maybe they should. They're not trading anybody. They're not going to do anything. In 2 weeks, it'll be 4 weeks. In 4 weeks, it'll be October. They're not doing anything. The desire for them to do anything has already been stated by their owner that that's not something he wants to do. They're done. It's over before July. It's done.
Yeah.
They don't have the wherewithal to see that the fans who support them are starting to tail off. They don't care. And so since they don't care, I kind of don't give a crap either.
Thanks, Mario.
It's the danger that they're falling into, Mario, exactly how you feel. I mean, you want to be honest about it? It's not over before July. It's over before June. It was over before June.
It was over in April.
It was over.
They started out when they were however many games below 500. They dug a hole too deep to come out of. But here's what you have to do when I think you're faced with this situation. You have to create hope somehow. You have to create some sort of semblance of optimism or hope or a direction, a plan. And I think the only way you do that, not the only way you do that, you could do that by, you know, catching lightning in a bottle and going on a 10-game winning streak and getting back in contention, which is unrealistic. Or you can follow the more traditional model and starting over again and understanding what your limitations are and doing whatever it is to give your fan base a reason to believe that, okay, this has been tough, this hasn't worked, let's start over, let's get some new eyes, a fresh start, and see where this takes us.
And I think that the problem with that is there would be a lot of work to do before you could start over. I don't think anybody believes that the people that got you to this point are capable of starting over. I think that...
Well, I'm not saying that those are the people to do it.
But I mean, obviously it's not. I'm saying so, who is the people?
Well,
who are the people?
That's a good question.
If you are indeed going to make a move like that, you've got to clear out the entire organization. Because, David, the problem you have isn't just with the frontline team. It's that there's nothing there. Like, who's been getting the players? Who's been developing the players? Are they still all in Birmingham? I get confused. How's that project going, right? Doesn't look like there's anybody to come up. They ran out of pitchers.
I'm not eliminating that as a possibility in a direction they need to go.
But don't they have to do that first before they start their rebuild?
What are they waiting for?
I don't know.
I guess that's part of my point is that they're buying themselves time. Are they also kind of figuring out?
Yeah.
You know they're frustrated. Yeah. We talked to Ozzie. Kenny is frustrated. We know that. We heard it in Rick Hahn's voice. I'm assuming Jerry Reinsdorf is frustrated, even though, you know, they're close to finishing second or third. But I wonder this. What is more unrealistic? To expect the White Sox to recognize this position they're in and start over, even if it means making some changes in the front office at the executive levels, that they're going to, on the field, listen, come back in a division in a season that already seems lost.
There is no hope here, okay? There's no hope because they're totally handcuffed. They can't make the moves that need to be made because they have nothing behind them. And what you got to do, if you really want to start with a rebuild, if you have deemed it is a failure and we can't get anything done, then don't you have to kind of tear down the structure from the inside? Don't you have to find somebody who is available? You know, what's Theo doing these days? And wouldn't you have to give him a piece of ownership?
Well,
or
yeah,
something?
I think we talked about that last month.
I know, but I'm saying I don't see how you get anything done with the group you have running the team. I mean, even if say Kenny was willing to take over from Rick, wouldn't he have to get rid of all those lieutenants and change everything and rework the entire organization? There's nothing. There's no there. We talked about this a year ago with the Project Birmingham. They did that because they had so few good prospects, so they could bring them all into the same spot without doing any damage to the organization. You look at teams that have strong minor league systems. That is so much. If you want to not spend your $100 million contract, then you better have this turnover. You better be Tampa. You better be able to constantly roll your roster, etc. Is there any reason to believe that the Sox are capable of that?
Yeah, there is. I mean, only because, okay, let me rephrase that. Based on history, no, there's no reason to believe or have confidence that they're capable or they're willing to have that kind of self-awareness to realize what they need to do now. I agree with that. The cynicism is earned. You should be skeptical about the White Sox and what they're going to do next. I'm just saying that pro sports, there are examples where when you are at this point and you have faced the realities of White Sox face on the field and you historically have been so limited and the plans haven't worked off the field, you've got to do something and start somewhere in terms of next. And you shouldn't have any confidence in their ability to do that.
No.
But that doesn't stop me from believing that's the right way to go.
You've got an octogenarian owner, and the idea is to try to get him another bite at the apple before he has to shuffle off this mortal coil. And I'm not trying to be cruel about it or anything else, but, you know, when people hit a certain age, there's only so many sunsets left. Do you want people to live forever?
Then spend the money like somebody who has, you know, an intent to or a sense of urgency then.
Yeah.
Then go out and make deals and do something
The Sox have one thing going for them, which is they're in a terrible division. That is the only thing that is holding them back from whatever. They don't have a minor league system where they're producing all these players. They don't have, they got one player
that is
in extended spring training.
So would it be different if they were buried in the AL East? You think they would have a different mindset to this?
I think if they were in the AL East, they'd have to figure out a way to win. And they don't have to do that in their division because, again, how far, what are they? Are they 12 or 13 games under 500? It's absurd. But there's still this, you could still argue that, hey, why don't we all whip together $20 and throw it on the Sox because they've got as good a chance as anyone because they're so underperforming. I just don't see any way out of the situation they find themselves in unless they tear down all sorts of things.
23-35, 7 games out. They're 23-35, 7 games out, 12 games below 500. You're right in citing the division as something that gives you hope, but I think it's false hope, and I think it reflects the lowering of standards, if that is the way you're going to approach everything.
The standards are so low now. You said it a week ago. It's, you know, you would have to, what is it? Like a matchbook? Is that how high the standards are with this team? Is it, I mean, is there anyone, no matter what age or what health condition, that couldn't jump over the bar that the White Sox have sent? Good God. Jim's in Harwood Heights. Hey, Jim.
I agree with the fact that the Sox have underperformed. I do not agree with the timing that you guys have on a regular basis saying that they're great 1 week, terrible the next. The Sox arguably have the best pitching in that division because Cleveland's guys are hurt. They could come to the fore, and they could contend. The bigger problem is this. The Sox have not developed a consistent player in 20 years. And the same people are in charge, and they give excuses and excuses, and none of the excuses work because the fact remains they don't develop, and even if they do develop a guy that's okay for a while, the Sox don't play hard. They don't run the bases. They don't run like the game matters, and it has become an epidemic. It's not just a small problem.
Jim, you're overrating the pitching if you think that they have the best staff in the division because they have not been the case this year. Lance Lynn has been awful, except for three starts. Michael Kopech, brilliant a couple times, up and down.
Dylan Cease hasn't reached his level.
He hasn't been.
He's been a disappointment compared to how he was a year ago.
He set the bar pretty high. He has not yet to clear it.
I believe in him.
Giolito's been solid, and Clevenger's been spotty. But I don't think you look at that and you think see a consistent rotation. The bullpen's been great, but they haven't had the starting consistency.
All right, we're going to bring in our buddy Bruce Levine. We're going to talk baseball both sides of town, and we're going to find out if there's anything to be done.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%.
Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Billy and Haw on the score.
Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host, alongside our own David Haw.
We've got a lot of baseball conversation to cover in the next 2 hours. How are you doing this morning, buddy?
Great being with you, like we are every Saturday, 52 weeks out of the year, talking baseball on Inside the Clubhouse.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is always a delight to talk to our friend Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing well since 1868. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Hurting from the two losses of Cubs and White Sox yesterday. It's got to get a little bit more consistent on both sides of town. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I mean, you're right. I guess we should begin with any news at all or any expectation at all about Justin Steele. That was very scary to see a guy having a good game for himself, and then something occurs and he comes out of the game, 9 consecutive outs, and yet he's not able to come back in. And hopefully there's nothing major, but when you hear strained forearm and you talk about pitching, it's scary stuff, especially your best young pitcher.
I like the idea that he talked in the post-game interview, and that's always encouraging. When a pitcher shows up to talk about why he came out and what he was feeling, I think that's encouraging news. They don't have anything more. They didn't have anything as late as yesterday, so we'll be waiting to see if there is anything more tomorrow. I'm sure the MRI is going to be a big part of this thing here, and they'll continue to look at it. If he misses a start, okay. If it's more than that, then that, I think that kind of changes the idea and the culture of what's going on right now.
Justin Steele was injured. Lance Lynn wasn't. What was his excuse, Bruce? He's got a 6.55 ERA now. He got rocked.
Well, he'd been really good. I mean, the last three starts, he'd been outstanding. So the consistency certainly wasn't there. And when you miss in a lineup like that, your fastball's not moving like it wasn't yesterday. You know, guys like Trout and Ohtani, you know, they're two top players in the game. They're going to destroy you. They did. They just wiped them out. But I'm more concerned about the consistency, not necessarily the pitching, but the offense is so inconsistent. And, production that was supposed to come from a lot of different areas, including at the top with Tim Anderson, whether he's still not there yet with his leg, that's hard to look at. I mean, there's very little production there right now, and he's the catalyst of this team. We've known that over the past 3 or 4 years, that when he's in there and doing his thing, it's a much different offense. Right now, with him being, nothing much. I think he's got an OPS under 7. It's just not looking like the same player. And, on defense, you see it sometimes too. You know, he just gets caught in between. So I'm wondering how limited he is physically and what they can expect from him going forward here. He's got to perform for the White Sox to ignite that offense. That's just the way the team has been structured over the last 3 years.
Yeah. What was your take on Jake Berger at second base?
You know, I'm sure you guys talked about it earlier in the past. You know, starting this guy at second base during the season.
Right.
I don't get that. Again, they weren't expecting this to be a situation where they needed him or that his offense was going to be so dynamic. And at home, it's been tremendously dynamic. He's got 11 home runs. 10 of them are at the guaranteed rate. So, getting a guy in there, look, I asked Grafal about 2 weeks ago about, can Berger play there? Will he be playing there? And he was very hesitant about that. And I compared it to Moustakas with the Reds or Kansas City a few years ago, moving over there. Not a guy that has a lot of range, but has decent hands and can can, you know, intelligently play the position. But I think it's putting an awful lot of pressure on him to perform if you're going to have him there on a regular basis. They do know one thing. They need his bat in the lineup. It's a power bat, and he's had some huge hits for them since the beginning of the season. He's shown he's not afraid to get a big hit for the Chicago White Sox.
Bruce, what am I missing in the Cubs' fascination in Miles Mastroboni, who's hitting a whopping 149?
Well, it's talking about the depth in their system right now. They don't have a lot of depth there, and they have two prime players at second and shortstop. But Mastroboni's a left-handed hitter. They're trying to, if you notice, and I know you do, David, Ross is trying to get some offense in there. Okay, I mean, they won two out of they won two out of the three games against Tampa, which was great. They were in line to win the third one. But, the run production is just not there. What did they score? 1, 2, and 3 runs. So Ross is just trying to find some production from the left side just to get some things going. They don't have run producers. So what they have table setters, and they have good ones at the top. You look at all of the table setters they have. You have Swanson. You have Happ, you have Horner. These guys are all 1-2s. They should be batting third and fourth. Otani is a fifth place hitter. Happ is a fifth place hitter. So they're batting 3 and 4. They're not getting a big pop. They don't have a lot of power. And with Bellinger out, it's more obvious that they're missing that. Two things that the Cubs don't have. And that Ross has to work around. And those are power arms and power bats. They just don't have a lot of that. And other teams with them, they don't match up well when you have extreme power from their bullpens, extreme power from their middle of their order. Sometimes the Cubs are just not going to match up.
When we kind of look at where this team is in terms of being able to sweep Tampa. Tampa has not been swept this year. Tampa hasn't lost 3 games in a row. And the Cubs came awful close. Unfortunately, they didn't pull it off. When you see them have a series like that, I think the Sox are 2 games under 500 at home. I'm just curious, is there a huge difference between how you're playing at home versus how you play on the road? And is it more difficult? It's weird to have both teams in town, but it's obviously better for the teams to be at home.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the last at bat means an awful lot. Mm. And I just think this, just feeling better when you are at home. I just it's just a bullpen issue for the Cubs, okay? The bullpen pitched extremely well in those 2 wins against Tampa, and hats off to them. But, you're not going to get that every day, as you saw, yesterday where the game got away in a couple of home runs late from one of their more dominant pitchers. Leiter Jr. has been outstanding for him, but, he just didn't have anything yesterday. That bullpen is going to get resurrected. I guarantee you that. You're going to see a lot of different names in the second half. You're going to see more minor league guys. Hopefully, you're going to see Cody Hoyer here very soon. You saw Alzolay take a step up as a closer the other day and have a magnificent couple innings and strike out a couple of guys. It's got to go through this metamorphosis, okay? It must. The veteran guys have had their day. Most of them just don't have it much anymore. So, bringing on more young arms from the minor league system, I think, is what you're going to see. And hopefully Hoyer at the back end gives them some hope. I mean, look what happened from last year. You had Wick, who was a setup man. You had Thompson, who was an integral part of that bullpen. Where are they now, okay? So the player development on a couple of these guys is still in motion. And they're trying to get these guys back to where they were last year and the year before. Not an easy process, but you're going to lose an awful lot of ball games at the end of the game if your bullpen is not up to snuff. And so far, that's been the case with the Cubs.
Bruce, have you been befuddled by the extended absence of Cody Bellinger? And when can we expect him to return?
It's not gonna be for another 10 days. I talked to him extensively, David, 2 days ago. He said it's a bone bruise in the knee. It's taking a lot longer than they thought. He's doing a lot of therapy and a lot of medical work on it and stretching. And, you know, so I'd say another 10 days before you see him. He might, you know, might have to go out on a, you know, some type of rehab outing in the minor leagues before he comes back, because it's going to be significant time missed. Boy, do you ever miss a guy like that whose defensive plays and his bat have really been a big part of the first 2 months for the Cubs. I'm not saying he didn't slump at times, but his presence in the lineup has been very important for the Cubs. They've really missed that.
Bruce, I'm just curious, when you look at David Ross in particular, getting a lot of questions about lineups and the way that he's setting things up, is it his call? Do we know where management ends and he begins? And I know he has a say in it, but is he just doing what he's told to do? Is he following instruction more often than not, or is it his decisions?
I think mostly it's a collaboration and then his decision in the lineups. I think he listens to the front office. He listens to the metrics people. I think he tries to involve all that. At the end of the day, he's a baseball man. You have one roster, okay? You can't invent guys to come in there and do things that they can't do. So, when you see Master Bone in the lineup and people like that, yeah, you think at times that there is a metrics, element involved in, hey, we think he's going to hit this pitcher there. Why don't you put him in the lineup? I think there is some of that. But he is his own man. I think the lineup at the end of the day is mostly his. But there's definitely, a collaboration with Ross, the front office, and the metrics people. Again, do you think the pressure on him is warranted? Yes, I do, because this team was expected to be better than it has been lately. I think this was a team that was expected to be, after winning more games than they lost the last 70 games last year, I think a lot of people felt, with the additions that they made in the offseason here, that this was going to be a competitive team, a team that would be, right around 500 and maybe competing for the division. And with the starting pitching they have, guys, that's not out of the realm of possibility, but the rest of it is just not up to snuff right now. Until they get that bullpen settled, you can't call them a contender.
Following up more to the point, Bruce, I think what we're reacting to is that, was it David Ross's decision to remove Hayden Wesneski after 59 pitches and 3 2/3 innings yesterday, or was it a metric or an analytic and a call from the front office to say, okay, he's done because our numbers show that he's done now, let's go to Mark Leiter Jr.?
No, I'm sure that was all Rossi. And why wouldn't you go to Leiter? He's been terrific for him. I mean, he's arguably the best bullpen guy that they've had. He's done a number of roles, closing, setting up. As they talk about, sometimes you need to get the important outs, and that's what he wasn't able to do yesterday before the ninth inning. But for the most part, I think that was definitely David Ross yesterday, going with what he considered his best pitcher in situations where they had a bridge the game to the back, and then you might have seen Alzolay at the end if it was going to work out, but that's not how it shaked down yesterday.
Okay. Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Bruce.
All
talk
right,
to you
have
Saturday.
A great day, guys.
All right.
That is Bruce Levine, the Scores baseball expert. I think it's interesting. I think one of the problems you have with both managers in this town is trying to figure out who's doing what.
It's a fair question, especially these days. And as it pertains to the Cubs yesterday, you did wonder, because Justin Steele goes out after three. Here comes Wisniewski. Looks like he's pretty good. He comes out. Leiter comes in. Ignites the Rays offense,
Yeah. Basically. Yeah, that's a pity.
Not what you want that Leiter to do.
No, you don't want your pitcher to ignite anything.
No.
All right. We're gonna be right back. We've got
Lance Brozdowski from the Marquee Sports Network. When we talk about the young pitchers the Cubs may be able having to turn to, the minor leaguers that Bruce referenced, who are some of those guys maybe on the way up?
We'll ask Lance that question next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Hayden was great. I mean, that's what he's here for. Got the lead, multiple innings, did a really nice job. I thought started a little bit slow, and then you saw it pick up. As soon as he got a base runner, stuff started jumping out of his hand, you know, 94s, 95s, once he got comfortable and kind of in a rhythm, and just I thought he was really efficient. From there on, I held runners really good. Those guys like to run, really made some pitches.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. That is the voice of David Ross. And we are delighted to welcome in Lance Brozdowski. He with the Marquee Network, and he is the player development analyst for the Marquee Network. The Road to Wrigley show, always a ton of fun to watch. And Lance joins us now on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Lance, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys? Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on, and we're trying to, you know, we're just trying to figure out, I guess I'll ask it this way. What did you make of seeing Justin Steele leave in the fashion in which he left, nine outs into the game and feeling discomfort in the forearm? What that set off alarms for everyone.
I imagine, yeah. I mean, we've seen a ton of injuries this year, particularly like flexor strain injuries with pitchers. A lot of Tampa Bay Rays guys we just saw had in town went down. Drew Asmus and Jeffrey Springs for them. I mean, obviously everyone's concerned right off the bat, but I think, in my opinion, in a lot of these situations, you have to just rely on what the team says or how the player reacts. And Steele's post-game press conference, I thought, was really encouraging. So it sounds like he's getting an MRI today. We'll see those results, see what it is. It seems like they're really downplaying it. So although you hate to see a guy get pulled after nine outs, the fact that they weren't particularly worried, from my impression of how, you know, just reading body language and such, I'm not particularly worried. Would I be shocked if they put him on the IL for a little bit? No, but that's also just a product of him getting injured at the end of last year as well and wanting to manage workload. Like, if his team wants to make the playoffs, they need Justin Steele in there late, yeah. You know? So if he misses two starts, three starts right here up front, just to really get him right and make sure that he's able to throw, you know, however many innings he's projected for throughout this, later in this year, as the end of the playoffs, like, they're going to need to do that.
So, Lance, as somebody who understands the Cubs system as well as anybody, we saw yesterday Hayden Wesneski come up and have to be used in a relief role. He's a starter. There are a couple other guys at AAA Iowa that might fit that same profile, and you wonder, what about Ben Brown? What about Caleb Killian? What about Daniel Palencia? Guys who might be asked to play a relief role for the Cubs, even if they might not be accustomed to being used in that fashion.
Yeah, that's always tough. I think there's two angles there. One is that the Brewers have done this continually with a lot of their arms. Freddie Peralta came up. Aaron Ashby is hurt this year, but he's another guy who came up in relief and then eventually moved to a starter role. And then there's the other angle of talking to guys in other systems and even in the Cubs system in the past about how going from starter to relief and almost being yo-yoed between that could sometimes mess up a guy. You know, guys are built differently. Guys have different routines, and getting back on routines is something that – I imagine it's difficult to do. So you have a bit of a push and pull there, where obviously if the need is for pen arms, then you're going to try to convert a guy like Ben Brown maybe to come up as more of a reliever out front and see how he does. But for me, Ben Brown is a starter through and through long term. I really think that there's multiple pitches there. He's been great this year. He's one start, he's given up seven runs in AAA. The rest of them, he's had one or zero. That's between actually AAA and AA. He's dominated last time out, 11 Ks over 5 1/3. He's a starting pitcher to me. As to whether it's more valuable for them to bring him up as a reliever for the time being and then convert him back to a starter, I think that's totally fine. But I do think they have other options. Cody Hoyer is coming back from Tommy John surgery, pitched yesterday. Zila was down slightly in that outing. It's kind of progressed down throughout his rehab outing at AAA. He was like a 97, 98 guy now. I think yesterday he was more 95, 96. So that could just be some hangover from the Tommy John. I don't know if that's anything to be totally concerned about. He's probably the arm that I'm most excited about, where it's a reliever through and through. I think he could help right now. That's three pitches as well with the slider and the changeup, such that he could help each-handedness, and we won't run into these situations where you have a Mark Leiter who's better maybe versus lefties and an Alex Leiter who's better versus righties. Hoyer can get either hand in this out, and I'd like him in kind of more of a leverage role. Post Tommy John, do they want to immediately make him a leverage guy? I'm not entirely sure there. So then you think about a guy, as you mentioned, Daniel Palencia. He throws really hard. They wanted to get him out of Double A because they're using an experimental baseball down there, and it was helping him probably more than maybe some other guys because of how he throws. So they bring him up to Triple A. He's had some release point inconsistencies. He's a guy that I really liked and I had inside my top 10. But I had him inside my top 10 because I liked him as a starter. I thought there was kind of maybe Hunter Green, Spencer Strider upside there. You know, now that he's a reliever, I'm not entirely sure where the tolerance is to bring a guy like that back into a starting rotation. So those are probably the three guys to watch out for. I think Palencia is maybe a long-term reliever now based on how the team has thought about him. Ben Brown's a starter to me. Cordy Carr, obviously a reliever. So it's this odd push and pull of, like, if you bring the guy into the pen, is that maybe the best thing for his trajectory? They have a glut of starting pitching right now, honestly, with Hendricks coming back and pitching reasonably well, where I'm not entirely sure, you know, it's funny. I feel like a lot of other teams are hunting for starting pitching. Like, the Brewers started Julio Teheran yesterday. I didn't even know he was still in baseball, you know? And it's like, but they have pen arms. So it's this weird mix of, like, their Cubs are in a situation where they have a lot of starting pitching. They have probably six starters right now. I think Wisniewski's a starter as well. And they have more starters at AAA. It's just they need pen arms. So it's a weird balance of a roster construction right now.
I'm curious, when you see Matt Mervis, Lance, and the way that he played at the minor league level and the way that he has struggled in the major leagues, what's your thinking on that? And how long will they wait on him to come around?
That's a great point. Yeah, he's had success every single place he has gone in the minor leagues. And probably the most impressive thing is that the walk rate has gone up at every level. The K rate, for the most part, has come down almost at every level. It's kind of insane. I mean, if that continued, then you're looking at, you know, probably the best hitter on the team. So I guess there was maybe a bit of a heat check, so to speak, on him as he came up. The underlying stuff, I'll say, looks pretty good. He's still barreling the ball at a reasonable rate. That's above average. He's about 13%. The league average is somewhere around 8%. He's hitting the ball hard, 50% hard hit rate. So that means half the balls he's hitting are above 95. You hit the ball hard, good things are going to happen. You hit the ball hard at the right angles, better things are going to happen. He is probably hitting too many balls on the ground right now. That might be part of the issue. You don't want to see a ground ball rate over 50% with him. He's a guy who generally is going to linger in the mid-30s, even low 30s. So the thing for me is, like, anytime you see a guy jump up to the majors from AAA, the stuff gap, so to speak, pitchers are better at the major league level. And I don't know if the gap has grown over the last couple of years, but to me, it kind of feels like it has. So this, to me, feels like an adjustment period. We saw this with Jordan Walker, the Cardinals, who came up, right? He comes up, the hype is insane. He kills spring training. He struggles a little bit initially. He's actually, I think, a reasonably league average player for the most part, but he gets sent back down. They want him to hit the ball in the air more. I'm not exactly sure what the timeline is and how much they want to wait with a guy like Matt Mervis. I think the underlying stats look good enough for him to make a slight swing adjustment, lift the ball a little more, and then maybe you get back to league average results. But long term, I do think he's more of maybe like just a league average, slightly above league average guy. I don't know if this is like the best hitter on the team. And maybe we got a little jaded seeing him in AAA, absolutely mashing 2 years in a row where we just expect him to come up and save the team and hit a bunch of home runs. I think he's a very, very productive offensive player, and I do believe it's the right move to call him up. There's nothing else to prove at AAA. But they need to win right now. And that's maybe, another kind of balance for the team to figure out is whether he's the best option to do that, especially with how he's been struggling. But I have faith he'll turn around. All my conversations with him, he's incredibly cerebral in how he thinks about his approach. I know he's a guy that's in that cage every day trying to figure out what's going on. To me, it's lift the ball a little more. The underlying batted ball data in terms of how hard he's hitting it looks great. So I think it's maybe just a little more tolerance with him. But again, like, if they need to win, do they want to put the guy trying to figure out his swing in the lineup every single day? And that's maybe the hardest part for them to figure out. Was he a better option over Hosmer? I think for the most part he was. You know, I don't think they regret that move, so to speak. Hosmer was never really a productive offensive player. I think he was brought into the team to be more of a veteran presence. And there's definitely value in that, but it was the time for Matt Mervis. You can't keep him down at AAA with even strikeout to walk numbers and how many home runs he was hitting.
30 seconds, Lance. Why have we not seen David Bodie with the Cubs yet?
Oh, that's a really good question. I did not think you were going to close me out with that one. How have we not seen David Bodie? That's a great question. I honestly have no idea. I think he's kind of just stuck at AAA. He's been hitting the ball incredibly well. I don't know whether he would be as good at the majors. He kind of just seems like a guy that might forever be a AAA bat. That's a great question. You have Jed Hoyer next. Maybe he could answer that.
Can you book him for us?
Yeah.
I'll text him. I'm sure.
Thanks, Lance.
Lance, thanks a ton. Really
no
appreciate
problem, guys.
Great stuff.
Thank
that,
you.
That is Lance Brzdowski. The road to Wrigley is really fun, and he's got his finger on the pulse.
He certainly does. Every aspect of the Cubs organization, he is on top of.
No doubt about it. We're going to switch gears and get to the NBA. We're going to talk to Pat Garrity about what happens tonight in the finals, the beginning of how long a series. We'll ask him. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.